I am a practical person. God deals with us according to the nature he has made us. I am not the type you come and speak grammar for and make me, because of your grammar, give my life to Christ. I will not worship God based on your own testimony. I must have a reason to serve him. That Jesus you see, if I don't see him, I will not serve him. That is how God made me. Say a true church. You are a member of that church, and the church has communicated to you. Listen, in a true church, number one, and Brother Assembly church members don't know this at all. And your members, pastors, they must know this. When a member of the church commits an offense and is excommunicated, no member of the church is supposed to relate with that person. The reason is not to hate him. You are praying for him so that the person will see reason and repent. And when he comes back and is restored, the church will celebrate and rejoice. And with arms of love, embrace the person again. One thing I love about the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, the ministry, is that when God calls you, you will not use your own effort to serve him. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. That is why I say, when God calls you, he does not send you to a Bible college. Bible school, any school is good. But it is not a prerequisite for ministry work. The prerequisite for ministry work is the talent. When God calls you, he will anoint you for the thing he has called you to do. The gift that you operate determines your ministry. The gift you operate defines your ministry. How can God gather thousands of people and only one man? The man of God. The man of God. The rest of you, uncle. A teacher is a teacher. An evangelist is an evangelist. Every one of them, there is a grace that goes with it. A prophet is a prophet. A prophet does not have the ability to pastor a church. Now let me tell you why. The word pastor comes from pasture. Pasture is the food for the sheep. The keeper of the food for the sheep is called pastor. Ghanaians call it pastor. Let's put our hands together for our God. Put your hands together for Jesus. Put your hands together for Jesus. I say, put your hands together for Jesus. God bless you. Amen. There's a scripture, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5, 6, 7. Up to verse 9. Let's just read it. This admonishment. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not. Don't forsake wisdom. Don't forsake knowledge. and she shall preserve thee. Love her. Love wisdom. Love understanding, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. And with all, he said, therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, what shall you get? Get understanding. Get understanding. Listen. Apostle Paul, in Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and verse 17, he says something there. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Then he added in verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. From when? From faith to faith. As it is written, the judge shall live by faith. Faith to faith, yes. Revelation to revelation to revelation. And that is the knowledge. That is the wisdom. That is the knowledge that you should get. See, not too many people have the knowledge, the wisdom, the revelation of what God did for us through the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. That took him to go through that gruesome death. I am telling you again, it is so that we shall have eternal life. That is the reason I like to study, because I like to know. I've gone to the bookshops. You need to go to my library so you see the kind of books I have. But I have not gone to any bookshop to see somebody explain what is eternal life. When they talk about the Holy Ghost, they are talking about the anointing of the Holy Ghost. They're even so confused, some of them look at him as a third person of a Trinity. Listen, get knowledge. The things that I teach you, they are practical things. It's not academic. I did not go to Bible school. Maybe if I had gone to Bible school, I would be a better preacher than I am now, because many people don't like the way I talk. Maybe then they teach them how to talk. Me now, as I see and as they talk, I'm wow. That's why many people don't like me. I'm a practical person. Amen. I am a practical person. God deals with us according to the nature he has made us. I am not the type you come and speak grammar for. And make me, because of your grammar, give my life to Christ. I will not worship God based on your own testimony. I must have a reason to serve him. That Jesus you see, if I don't see him, I will not serve him. That is how God made me. Therefore, he is quick to prove to me the reality of the gospel. Because he knows when I get it, I will preach it. The Christian faith is an evidence-based faith. It is an evidential faith. These signs shall follow them that believe. It's not grammar. Because conversion, it's not the work of a man, it's the work of God himself. is practical. If a man be in Christ, a new creature, all things are passed away. It's practical. I'm saying this for a reason. Because I want to teach something tonight that may help us. We're talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There are three aspects of it. And that's why we have set aside 3 days also for this program. The three aspects, number one, is the administration of the Holy Ghost, which is what we did yesterday. And there I taught you how we have different administrations, how God will minister to you may be different from how you minister to another person, how the other person will receive it, but it's the same Spirit. God chooses how he will minister to you. We emphasized it yesterday, and you all saw it practical. It's not grammar. It's practical. The second thing, which is what we want to do today, the second day, is that when you have received the Holy Ghost, you will also receive a gift. So today we'll be talking about the gift and the purpose of the gift that God gives us. Then number three, we will now come and teach you how to use that gift. How to operate that gift. Listen very well. Our text is 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. Listen. And listen very well. For before God, we have three judgments that man will face. You must fall within these three, at least one of them. The first one for a believer has two judgments. Two of these three is for the believer. Yet it is judgment. The believer here, I'm talking about you filled with the Holy Ghost, with the spirit of sonship. You, the son, a daughter of God, and you are not a son of God. You are not a daughter of God until you have his spirit in you. And you are not a child of God by confession with mouth. Amen. You are not a child of your father by saying you are the child of your father, therefore you become the child of your father. So it is with our Heavenly Father. You are his child by a process of a birth. Three judgments, two for us, one for the unbelievers. The first one, when you are born again, is the Father's chastisement. It is also a judgment. That's why we see Hebrews chapter 12. Let's read it for the purpose of clarification. From verse 5, Hebrews chapter 12, from verse 5 to 11. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. What is the exhortation? My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he received. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof, what did he say? All are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. You can read that on and on up to verse 11 on your own. Listen. Once you are born again, listen very well. That is the first judgment. If you commit any sin you willingly commit, you know it is wrong. You know it is sin. You know God hates it. And you engage yourself in it. Get ready. God will punish you. I repeat. If you know this is wrong and everybody knows what your father hates and what your father doesn't, what your father likes, don't worry. If you don't know that he hates it, after he deals with you, you will know that he hates it. If you indulge yourself in any sin, and God does not warn you, sometimes he starts by warning you, and you refuse to stop it, and you still engage in it, the next thing is he will deal with you. That is evidence that you are a child of God. If you see anybody involve himself in all this evil, all this carnality, and is prospering in it, it is evidence that person has no relationship with God. I'm saying something so that some of you will know why you suffer some things you are suffering. The purpose is to make you repent. That's the reason Apostle Paul said it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of God. There is no parent here. The Bible says, spare the rod, and what will happen? You will spoil the child. Everybody knows that. But you will not, you have no business with another person's child. If any child, they do whatever he's doing, it doesn't bother you. But let your child go the way others are going. You even warn him, don't join them. He said, be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. He said, evil communication corrupt good manners. Amen. You must take note of that. So, sometimes God can even kill you. He can kill you. The reason is, he has given you eternal life. He cannot take it. And it's not going to purify you in heaven. It has to be purified here on earth before we go. And if you want to disgrace him, you want to disgrace him. Everybody knows you to be a child of God. Everybody knows. Suddenly, you change for any reason, begin to enter beer parlor, he will make that beer to poison you. He will make you enter something, get one sickness. He may make you catch HIV, or he may spoil your testimony forever. He will make you get pregnant. Go anywhere, that pregnancy not go come out till you born. It is a judgment for the children. And the church, also Jesus Christ gave the church power to also punish erring members. That's why we have excommunication from the church. And it is simple. It is supposed to make you repent. But see the difference between a child of God and what and an unbeliever, serpent seed. We call them serpent seed. When they punish them, they will go out. Instead of humbling themselves and showing remorse, they will be fighting that church. When you excommunicate them for offense they have committed, they will be fighting you instead of repenting. Because a true church, when you excommunicate someone, you are watching to see whether the person will know, will become remorseful, so that he can come and beg, and then the person can be restored. In a true church, I say a true church, you're a member of that church, and the church excommunicates you. Listen, in a true church, oh, true church, number one, and Brother Assembly church members don't know this at all. And your members, pastors, they must know this. When a member of the church commits an offense and is excommunicated, no member of the church is supposed to relate with that person. The reason is not to hate him. You are praying for him so that the person will see reason and repent. And when he comes back and is restored, the church will celebrate and rejoice, and with arms of love embrace the person again. It is a judgment. But in Brother Assembly Church, hey, they will even enter social media and be criticizing the pastor for taking that action. It's ignorance. You will join that serpent seed and be fighting the church. Instead of looking at the reason the person is put away, nobody is driven away from any church. Amen. Because of hatred by the pastor or the elders of the church. It is to make the person know what you have done is wrong, so that you will repent. That is the purpose. It is a judgment. And we will continue to do it in this church. Even if you take side with the person, if I catch you, I will excommunicate you. And you must go the way it is written of you anyway. Catch you in fornication. Catch you in adultery. What is adultery? It's to drive away your wife and marry another one. Both you and the one where you married before will chase you out far from the church. Freely we receive, freely we give. Any gifted brother or sister that we hear, charge money to pray for anybody, directly or indirectly, we will not warn you. There are some offenses we warn. There are some offenses, immediately. Amen. We catch you gossiping, lying, to knock heads of brothers together. You are trying to scatter fellowship. We excommunicate you. Praise the Lord. Then the second judgment is the judgment after the rapture. The third judgment is the white throne judgment. Revelation chapter 20 from verse 11 to verse 15. It is called the second death. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Praise God. Praise the Lord. That is the judgment. The white throne judgment. It is for the unbelievers. Anybody that does not resurrect now. When Christ comes, we go in the rapture, and you don't follow us to go in the rapture, the next thing awaiting you is the white throne judgment. This time, it is only to tell you to know the reason why you are going to hell fire. It is called the second death. But now, it is rapture watch. Hallelujah. And this judgment that we shall all come before the seat, before the judgment seat of Christ. This judgment seat of Christ is not for condemnation to go to hell. It is judgment unto reward. When we go up in the rapture, praise the Lord. Amen. Romans chapter 14, verse 10, 11 and 12. But why does thou judge thy brother? Or why does thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That's after the rapture. For it is written, as I live, said the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Amen. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. And this is what Christ put as a parable. What are you going to account to God? What are you going to account? This is what you are going to give account for. And Christ himself put it in a parable in Luke chapter 19. The parable of the talent from verse 11. Let's read it. And as they had these things, he added and spake a parable because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a parable. A certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, what did he say? What did he say? What did he say? He said, occupy till I come. And he will soon come. Church, he will soon come. But his citizens hated him, the Jews, and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. It's Israel. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants that he gave the talents to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man has gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound has gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, see the reward when we get there. Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over how many cities? Talk to me. How many cities? And that will take place when we come to reign on earth here with Christ. What you do with your talents will determine the crown you will have, the authority you will have when we come back in the millennium. Let's read on. And the second came saying, Lord, thy pound had gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over how many cities? 5 cities. And another came saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound which I have kept laid up in a napkin. And I fear thee because thou art an austere man. Thou takest also that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, out of thy own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gave not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury. And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that had 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he had 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto everyone which hath shall be given, And from him that hath not, even that he has shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies, the Jews, which will not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Now, not only the Jews, but everyone that reject Christ. The next verse, what does it say? And when he had thus spoken, he went before, ascending up to Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. So, these gifts, when you listen very well, when you are born again by receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, listen, you must have a gift. A gift must flow. That gift, amen, is what Jesus Christ calling talent. He calls it talent. Now, of course, there are natural talents and there are spiritual talents. But concerning the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it's a spiritual thing. Therefore, the emphasis here is the spiritual gifts. What are these talents that he has given us? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Read it up to verse 11. This is how he put it. But the manifestation of the Spirit, which is the gift, is given to every man, can you see, to profit without. Profit. Because you are going to show what you did with the gift that added value to the kingdom of God. You are going to tell the Lord what you did that progressed the advancement of the kingdom of God. He says, them that believe in me, the works that I do, ye shall do also. That is why he said, he gave them the talent, he said, occupy, that is, continue what I was doing till I come. And what is it? It is the work of the ministry. One thing I love about the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, the ministry, is that when God calls you, you will not use your own effort to serve him. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. That is why I say, when God calls you, he does not send you to a Bible college. Bible school, any school is good, but it is not a prerequisite for ministry work. The prerequisite for ministry work is the talent. When God calls you, he will anoint you for the thing he has called you to do. Are you with me? This will help you. And why I'm emphasizing this is lack of this knowledge will make many of us Christians, true children of God, face disappointment and lose our reward when we get there in the rapture. And you will come back to earth here for 1,000 years and you have no authority. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now, listen to my grammar. Listen to my grammar. God call me. Everyone, you say, do you know you have call? Everyone immediately thinks of gathering people to pastor them. No. Everybody cannot be a pastor. Amen. So listen. Another group say, anywhere I go, they say I have call. Pastor Moses, I don't know which call. I don't know. They say I am suffering. My business is suffering because I did not answer the call of God. Anytime anybody talk like that, I did look and say, man, I don't know what you're talking about. Because it doesn't make sense to me. So when you tell me that, I say, Go and answer now. After you answer the call, they make the problem stop, Abby. So what? Why are you worried again? Yeah, but I don't know the call. Who tell you, say you go get a call? Go meet the person, make it tell you. You don't go and meet anybody, say, I don't know my call. You will know your call. The gift that you operate determines your ministry. The gift you operate defines your ministry. If you have a healing gift, that is your ministry. You have the word of knowledge, that is your ministry. You speak in tongue and interpret. It is for prophecy. How can you say, I don't know my gift? That is your ministry. If you don't use it, when we go in the rapture, what will you tell him? One of the things you will tell him is, our church, they don't allow gifts. If you are in any church and the pastor will not allow you to operate your gift, this is what he is robbing you of. He's robbing you of the crown that awaits us when we get there. So what do I do, Pastor Moses? Get out of that church. And if you cannot get out of that church, then operate that gift outside the church. Use that gift in your neighborhood. If the pastor vexed, say, why did they pray for people for your office, for your market? Then you go, no, say, my enemy of progress be this pastor. Then get out of that church. Amen. That is why he said, this sign shall follow them that believe. What it means there, it's not saying everybody will operate those signs. In my name, they will cast out devil. Everybody cannot cast out devil. They will lay hand on the sick shall recover. Eh? Praise God. I want to expose false churches and false ministers. Some people, when they come to Bride Assembly, your song, I never see this kind of church before. Wonder, wonder, what? See, the overseer, your own language, the general overseer is standing at the altar, and one small tangle prophet. Sunday, Bengale, no matter how you give them food, you chop. No, they fat. We stand here, one small girl, not be the daughter of the Geo, not be the wife of the Geo. The Geo is standing, and then he said, clap your hand for her. And the Geo doesn't have that gift. And the Geo is saying, clap your hand for her. And is the Geo is the one coordinating for her, coordinating for him. I never see this kind of church before. Wonder, wonder. Amen. Praise the Lord. It is a product of a revelation. How can God gather thousands of people? And only one man, the man of God, the man of God. The rest of you, Unko. And the reason why, pastors, you are hearing me now. The reason why many pastors cannot encourage people to use their gift. They are afraid that the person will carry members and go. But why is Pastor Moses not afraid? It's a function of revelation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You don't know who we are. Praise the Lord. Does it mean they will not go? Many people, many ministers that God raised here, gifted men and women. After they got the gift, they left the church. Even sisters, upon how we teach them that a woman cannot pastor a church, they live here, and some brothers will follow that gifted sister and work for the sister. Amen. And then they will say, you raise them up, then they will go. I say, did I raise them to work for me? It's revelation. They will give account of what they do with the gift. I am not raising you up to work for me. But if you want to work for God in this ministry, Gafili Gadoki. The platform is there. As long as you do it according to the rule, in due order. Chicken, huh? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When you are sure of your call, nothing shakes you. They have tried to scatter this church. But they can't, because this is a program of God. If you have any gift in you, this church is a restoration ministry. Amen. Amen. I am in the ministry of lifting up people. That is the secret. That's the mystery people don't know. Onyi, listen. Amen. If God gives you the ministry of lifting up people, He will keep you up so that you will continue to lift them up. Lift them up. Nothing can bring me down. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So I'm saying this because if you are sure you're a Christian, forget this nonsense that your GO, your pastor, has done. He has focused all attention on his own gift and kill your own. He's not only killing your gift, he's killing the reward that will await us when we go to meet with the Lord. That is why in this church, amen, we have different groups to make provision for everyone to use the gift that God has given you. We have a healing and deliverance department here, ministry, with a head, well organized, so that people who have a healing gift can come together. Healing and deliverance, they go together. Behind every sickness, there's a demon behind it. If you don't cast out that spirit, the person can never be healed. And then we bring them here. They are here every Monday. They hold vigil, preparing for our Tuesday restoration ministry. Amen. When we close service, come and see. Many of them are more gifted in healing than me. And remember, every gift, the more you use it, the better it becomes. Hallelujah. Those who like love evangelism, we create those who are evangelists. There is the evangelical department here for them to join. And you will not struggle Pastor, I don't know what is wrong with my ministry. I struggle. If you are struggling in your ministry, then you are not where God has placed you. It's not your ministry, it's God's ministry. Check your calling again. Are you sure you are where God has placed you? God did not call you to be a pastor, and you decide to gather people to pastor them. You are on your own. You are on your own. Because he didn't send you. Now you want to gather people. Maybe there are some benefits you see in it. Maybe there are tithes and offerings you will collect. So you make some money there. Come and see. They are the ones that when the thing don't work, they will go and do enhancement. Go to where they can get power to make people to come to their ministry. They jump from frying pan to fire. Amen. Listen very well. If you stay where God has placed you, nothing can move you from there. Nothing. See, nothing can move me. Nothing. This church, they don't try. Go and ask those who came to demolish this church. Until Jesus comes in this Ejesha, only we and choosing will remain here. Another church not go come because we don't buy all the land. Choosing and Bride Assembly, now only us get this estate. Praise the Lord. When you are sure of your calling, they will attack you. But he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail. They will smuggle and come. Amen. Do you know? I don't know anybody, any minister, I don't even know any pastor that has the number of intercessors that God has raised for me around the world. There are people that God spoke to them be interceding for my son, Moses. I know some in Canada. I know some in Europe, in UK. And I know some outside. I'm talking of not official intercessors of Bride Assembly Church. I mean individual that fast call my name every day. So I am covered. Praise the Lord. I am covered. Why? Not only me, including you. We went to pray for somebody with a brother some years back. I've shared this before. The person had chicken pox. So we went and lay hands. We are praying for the person against chicken pox. We left. The second day, the person with the chicken pox dried up. But my brother that we went with, the chicken pox catch up. Me, not catch me. Then I said, why the thing catch you, the thing not catch me? He said, Brother Moses, that's why I know they go and look everybody and they go pray for everybody. It's not so. It is not his calling. That is not his ministry. It is my ministry. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you catching what I'm saying? Because it is my ministry, there is a heavenly backing. Even if the thing hit me, the angel will remove it. He will remove it. Somebody with tuberculosis, I was praying for the person. While I was praying, I closed my eye. They pray. He coughed into my mouth. I just spat out and I said, Satan, you are a liar. I continue my prayer. TB didn't catch me. Catch me. Lie. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Inside of you, there is a gift inside of you. Everyone here, your gift is not to be shouting hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Then the man of God, you'll be clapping hands for him as he's exercising his own gift. Then you, they clap hands. When are you going to exercise your own? Amen. So what are these gifts? What are these talents? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, from verse 7 again, let's read on. For the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with it. Verse 8, see them, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts, plural, gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Verse 11. But all this worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will, according to the parable of the talents. Hallelujah. Because when you are born again, you are coming into the body of Christ. And you are coming as a joint into that body to supply something for the body. That is what you see in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. Every joint supplying. You have something to supply to edify the body. Praise the Lord. Now we have two types of gifts. We have the leadership gifts, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, to some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers. Amen. This is the leadership. This is the one that people are ordained into. And this is for men only, for the perfecting of the saints. This is the leadership. This is the office that Apostle Paul said, I permit not a woman to teach, nor usurp authority over the man. Where men are gathered, a woman, as a church, a woman cannot stand and exercise authority over them. And Apostle Paul gave the reason. So all of us, you are either an apostle, and for now, the apostolic office has been fully covered. Now, you are either a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor, or a teacher. Listen, you are either a prophet or an evangelist or a pastor or a teacher. Listen, a teacher is a teacher. An evangelist is an evangelist. Every one of them, there is a grace that goes with it. A prophet is a prophet. A prophet does not have the ability to pastor a church. Now let me tell you why. The word pastor comes from pasture. Pasture is the food for the sheep. The keeper of the food for the sheep is called pastor. Ghanaians call it pastor. 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 Prophet, you have no ability. You don't have the grace to feed the people. God does not give you. You cannot preach. You have no ability to tear down the word of God like a pastor. You cannot feed the sheep. You cannot produce Christians. Because these gifts are complementary to one another. The pastor feeds the sheep. The prophet, hallelujah, praise the Lord. His gift is for the edification of the body. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2 and verse 3. Can we read it? This is what the gift, hallelujah. Verse 3. It said, but he that prophesieth speaketh unto men, this is what you achieve, toward edification and exhortation and comfort. It must achieve these three things. These gifts are there to comfort us. You see how happy the people that were called out here, they are hearing thus said the Lord concerning their problem. They are comforted. They are edified. They are exalted. Praise the Lord. That is it. You are there to pray so that you watch in the spirit. If the enemy is coming, you will warn the people. If the devil wants to do something, your gift is to warn the people. And when you have a church that will not allow a prophet to operate in the church together with a pastor, then witches and wizards will sit down there comfortably because the activities will not be exposed. They are to hear when God wants to talk to the church, he has ordained that he will talk through the prophets. Amos chapter 3 verse 7. Give me a few minutes, I'll round up. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealed his secret unto his servants, the prophets. Both his own secret and also the secret of the enemy, God will reveal it. And that is what the office of a prophet is. And who is a prophet? It's not everyone that sees vision. There is a difference between the gift of the word of knowledge and the office of a prophet. The gift of a prophet. And there is also the gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy is the gift whereby God, the Spirit of God, comes and uses you to talk to the people in that moment. They are the ones, you will just, the anointing will strike them and you hear, thus said the Lord. Some of them speak in tongue and they interpret it. That person is not a prophet, oh. He only has a gift of prophecy. Well, you can call the person a prophet because Philip had daughters that prophesied. And they were prophetesses. But to be ordained into the fivefold ministry of a prophet, that sister cannot be ordained. If not, people like Amarachi would have been a very senior ordained prophet in this church with the level of her gift. Praise the Lord. Now, the gift of the word of knowledge. Amen.